of us use the communication library.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
And this project was done both by myself and Drew Jacobs and Brian Jorgage, two of my graduate students. We have a master's program at Villanova in computer science, and this was part of their final thesis project. Okay. The motivation for doing this was way back, about 3 years ago, I ended up getting a grant from the National Science Foundation to improve computer science education by integrating, by using robotics, Lego Mindstorms, because it's cheap, easy to work with, and so on, to improve computer science, to justify computer science topics. And about 2 years ago, I ended up making a presentation here in this conference about how I integrated Common Lisp with the Lego Mindstorms. This is a project that came from that. We were moving along and said, well, wouldn't it be nice if we'd be able to justify things like computer vision, auditory scene analysis, that sort of stuff, plugging in microphones, plugging in cameras to be used along with the Legos. The problem was when we came to most of the languages that we wanted to support, namely C, Lisp, and Java, none of them really had good programming-level support for USB. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good support in C if you're a library hacker. But, you know, at the higher levels in Java, you can't really make a USB class, USB stream class, very easily. Okay. Common Lisp, there's no such thing at all, okay, unless you're a good hacker. Okay. So this was a problem, and one of the things I like about Lisp in particular is it lets you solve problems, or so I thought. Why would we care about building USB into Common Lisp? Okay, well, a couple of reasons. Okay, they all pop up at once here. First of all, there's so many different USB devices out there. We've got microphones, we've got cameras, we've got video, we've got hard drives, mass storage, all of these things. And it behooves us, if we're writing intelligent applications, to be able to work with some of these things, especially the data capture devices. Right? Problem is, most of the software that's provided with these things in the, when they come out of the box doesn't give you a lot of hooks to integrate with programming languages. Okay? You know, I can use the Lego Mindstorms camera fine if all I want to do is work with that little piece of software that Lego gave me to view what it's seeing, you know, pop up the window and that kind of stuff. But if I want to integrate that with any other programming environment, Lisp, Java, whatever, it's no go. Okay. You run into this a lot in advanced intelligent applications. I had some friends at the University of Massachusetts who are working using Common Lisp for intelligent houses. They had an intelligent house project a while ago. And, the system programmer, the staff programmer there, he commiserated with me to no end about, they keep tossing in these cool toys to monitor the house, but guess, and they claim that Lisp is doing it all for them, but guess who's really doing the grunt work? Me. I'm writing all these foreign language interfaces to these things so that they can, very blithely call some Lisp function, all right, and that's it. Well, you can only do this so many times. After that, you're just reinventing the wheel. It'd be much better if we had something in Lisp where I could say open, specify a stream, something like a path name for a device, and if it's present, open it, and let me start communicating with it. There's also the issue of relevancy. Okay, now, I know I said that Java does not support USB universally, or I better say universally, it's not supported, but there are movements afoot. JUSB is a SourceForge project that will allow you to declare USB streams in Java, okay, and work with them as pretty much glorified byte streams. Okay. There's also the Java Media Framework put out by Sun. And I wouldn't say that this solves the USB problem, but it definitely goes a long way because at least it gives you access to things like video, camera, still cameras, microphones, that sort of stuff, okay, in Java. It only works, though, I believe, on Windows and some flavors of Unix, but no Mac. Not yet. So these are some reasons for wanting to build Lisp, USB into Lisp. Let me go over the USB framework just a little bit so you can understand what it is that the framework we developed lets you do. Okay? Turns out we let you work with about 90% of what USB promises to deliver. Okay? You guessed the 10% that's missing. Right? All right. You have your basic USB device. Okay? And it is, by definition, has a bunch of these endpoints. These are the physical connections that you make with the device. Right? And you're able to tell the device, pick a configuration for yourself to operate in. Okay? Now, what's a configuration? It's a style of operation. You know, for example, you might have a device like the Lego communication tower that sends out infrared signals from the tower to the robot to get things done remote control. Right? That tower has four configurations. It can be high bandwidth, high power. It can be high bandwidth, low power. Low bandwidth, low power, and whatever else in the combinations there are there. Okay, those are the operating constraints that you can set up for this within the same device. Now, for each configuration, you've got these things called interfaces. You may use a subset. You don't have to use all of the endpoints to exchange information with the device. Some of the endpoints are only good for certain configurations, and they may only provide certain directions, certain attributes. Right? So for every configuration numbered one through n, you have a possible set of interfaces numbered 0, 1, dot, dot, dot. And for an example of an interface, let's say I've got a video camera. If I'm in one configuration, I might be able to use interface 0 for still shots. Okay. If I'm in another configuration, if I'm in the same configuration, but I want to start worrying about retrieving video from that camera, then I would switch it to interface 1. And use a different set of endpoints for the data. Finally, every one of these endpoints... Oops. Sorry about that. Okay. Every one of these endpoints, I said, has attributes. Things like speed, baud rate, direction. You can change these things from what the manufacturer says. Here's the recommended settings. Okay. These are called alternates. Okay. And I could have interface 0, alternate 0, which really means use the interface itself. It's basic setup. However, I could say use interface 0, alternate 1, where I change the values for some of the, let's say, the speed for some of the connections. Okay. Knowing those three values, what is the configuration of the current configuration of the device? What is the interface of the device? And what is the alternate that you're using, if any? That should define the current state that you're operating the device in. I emphasize should because it turns out, this is something we discovered along the way as working with USB, certain manufacturers let you issue commands to USB devices that can, behind the scenes, change values, change attributes. Now, when you're communicating with these endpoints on the device, you've got four kinds of streams that you could be attaching to the endpoints, logical streams. You've got control, bulk, interrupt, and isochronous. Okay. And let's see here. The control stream, by definition, is bidirectional, and it's used for sending commands to the device to make it do things. Okay. This is the channel over which you might end up using some of these vendor-specified commands to, behind the scenes, change from what the advertised configuration interface alternate setting should be. Okay. Then you have bulk streams. A bulk stream is what you would use, let's say, to send data that's aperiodic, something like a scanner or a printer would use bulk streams. It's not something that goes regularly, but when it does get data, it gets a boatload of it. Okay. Interrupt, on the other hand, these are asynchronous connections where you're getting a small amount of data rapid fire, things like a mouse coordinate report, okay, or a modem status report. Right? And finally, isochronous, those are the streams that you would end up using if you were looking for data that's time dependent, something like a video stream where you want to get everything. You don't want to drop frames if you can help it. Okay, so you would use isochronous there. Okay. And these things communicate through a device driver. It's always assumed that we've got one of those things, through the operating system, the application. Standard setup for any of these devices. Right? Now, what kinds of requests can you send down that command pipeline, that command stream? Well, there's the standard ones, things like what's your power, turn yourself on, turn yourself off. That's what all devices have to adhere to. Okay? Then there are class-specific commands. I'll show you on the next slide. There's 8 or 9 different classes that the USB spec recognizes. And every one of those classes defines a set of commands that that device, if it's a good member of that class, is supposed to support. Right? Finally, though, and nice, but I think too many vendors abuse this, there's vendor-specific commands. Okay? More about those as time goes on. These are the kinds of classes that any USB interface would have to deal with in a programming language. There's the audio communication, human interface devices, hubs, printers, video, mass storage. Per interface, it may turn out that you've got a device that is multimodal. So, for example, the Lego Mindstorms camera is something that has both video, still, and it actually has a little built-in condenser mic. Okay, so you could argue that there's at least 3 interfaces there you'd have to deal with. And what is it? Well, it could be a video or it could be an audio device, depending on what interface you're working with at the time. Okay, so per interface is there. And finally, there's the vendor specific. This is something that means none of the above, or it means, well, the vendor made me, but the vendor didn't want to support some of the standard class commands, or decided they wanted to add some extra features. Okay, that's what all of those mean together. All right, so now that's the USB spec it took me 12 minutes to go over that. In somewhat big nutshell. Okay? And now how do you design, what kind of a library could you set up to interface with all of this? Well, what was the philosophy that we engaged in, that we adhered to when we wanted to make this thing? Well, the first and foremost, we were tired of working with FLIs. Okay? So we wanted to raise system-level queries or system-level commands that you would be sending to a USB to the Lisp level. Okay, that was the first thing. Okay? But as far as optimization goes, that went out the window. Sure, there's a reason why device drivers exist. They're supposedly optimized for fast communication. But if you're working in Lisp where you're just saying, look, yeah, I know, eventually I'm going to come along and optimize the frame rate, that I can receive on this camera, but I just want to get my vision system working. I want to have a proof of concept. I want to rapidly prototype it. Okay, that's where our common Lisp library would come into play. If you want optimal stuff, go back to the driver. Okay. That was the philosophy we took there. We also didn't want to start adding all kinds of functions. You could very easily make them, there were a couple of times we almost made the mistake of saying, oh, yeah, but, a lot of device, almost all video cameras are going to have this command. Why don't we build that in? Or all microphones are going to support this. Why don't we build that? No. Let somebody else build a library on top of that for a particular device. We wanted to keep parsimony in play here. Okay? And finally, we wanted to assume that you can trust the manufacturer. Case in point of what happens when your trust is misplaced. There was a device, I won't reveal any names here to protect the guilty, but there was a device where, you know, the USB spec clearly states interfaces are supposed to be labeled starting with zero through some number. Okay? And so when you query the device and say, in your current configuration, how many interfaces do you support, it'll return a number. And that number is supposed to be, one minus that is the label of the highest interface you can go with. Well, there was one device manufacturer who decided, no, we don't know yet what all of these possible interfaces are going to be. So let's pick some high number, all right? And they ended up labeling, you know, there were only three interfaces for the Bloomin' thing, but their third interface was labeled 17, right? 17, 16, 15. You know, and it worked fine if you knew those were the numbers that you were allowed. If you told it, set yourself to the second interface, there was nothing defined for the second interface. Or the tooth, sorry, interface. All right. Oh, well. So we assume that the manufacturer is a well-behaved citizen of the USB world. Okay, now what are the features that we built in? And as I describe these features, this is actually the order in which you would start using things if you were setting up communication with a USB device. Okay? So the first thing is you want to be able to pull the USB bus. What devices are out there? Okay? Now, we decided we didn't want to get, and this was the only connection that we gave to the bus, find USB devices. Okay? If you don't specify an error value, it just returns empty. So if there's no way to connect with the device with the bus, there's no devices available. So nil, end of story. Okay. Polling again, you know, USB is plug and playable. You know, can take things out, put things back in. We want to be able to do the same thing, but we don't want to keep polling if we don't have to. So we added that key there. You know, if you don't have any reason to believe the environment has changed, you know, so be it. Okay. And then we wanted to provide some kind of way of filtering. You know, I only want the devices that are of a certain class or have certain features. And these are the features and under device seeking that you would end up specifying. These are all functions that you'd end up passing in your test. You could say, what is the USB device class, its vendor ID, product ID, so on and so forth there. These are all the ways that you could, and you can combine them. Okay? Say, I want something that is made by Lego and is audio class. Okay? Then once you've found the devices you're looking for, now you'll notice we specifically don't have anything here like, well, I want bus 1. Or bus 0. We don't have any address access here. We didn't want to get that low level. Okay. We thought, you know, people are, you know, might pull a microphone out and put it in another one, or they might have a splitter where there's there's sub channels on the buses there. We didn't want to have to deal with that. How did we implement this? Well, it'd be nice, I'd love to be able to say that we wrote this all from scratch. And, you know, we only started this back in December of last year. There's no way in Hades we could have gotten as far as we did if it hadn't been for the libUSB project. Okay? That's an open source, SourceForge-based project. There's two branches to it. There's libUSB and libUSB-Win32. Obviously, the one is for Unix and other assorted operating systems, and Win32 for Windows. Okay. What we ended up doing is, for Win32, which is where we did most of our work, they provide a filter driver that interfaces, that interfaces with the standard supplied device driver. Okay. We can deal with this directly in the application. And we can ask for simple things like open, close, send bytes, and so on. The filter driver munges the messages so that this particular device driver that corresponds to the device knows what to do. Okay. In Unix, this wouldn't be the case. There'd be no need for this. Okay, that's why there's two separate projects. Let's see here. So that's how we built it. We built on top of libUSB Win32. And if you're curious as to how this interfaces with a Lisp environment, we wrote a DLL to provide a standard interface, okay, for all of these basic operations. And this was supposed to make it easy. So if, you know, I don't want to start any wars here, but you know, we were working with LispWorks to begin with, and then we said, well, what if somebody wants to use this in another Lisp environment, which is just as good, okay? How would you do that? Well, we bundled all the commonalities into here, all right? So you first have to install libUSB or libUSB Win32. That gets installed in the operating system. You get your standard filter driver. And then you just drop this into the directory where your Lisp is running, and you've got it all there. Okay. What happens if I've got two threads? I remember I mentioned that earlier, that if they want to both access the same device. Well, we didn't have to worry about that at the Lisp level because libUSB did that for us very nicely. However, what happens if I've got several threads in Lisp that are all trying to read from the same device? How do we do that? Well, there we borrowed the locking mechanisms that the Lisp systems provide. Certain mice, for instance, that they say no driver needed. That's because operating systems people like places like Microsoft have said, fine, we'll make a basic mouse driver. Our system doesn't work with that, doesn't work well with that. Okay. It turns out that Microsoft's drivers don't like to share with the filter driver. So if you have a mouse that has its own clunky driver that you have to install, this works fine. But the really cool optimized mouses, the jury's still out on that. Okay. You know. There's no support for isochronous streams. That's what started this whole thing in the first place. I wanted to be able to connect a camera to these things, okay, to this system, and start reading from it for the Lego. But you know, we're working with the libUSB people, and hopefully that'll come along in the near term. Finally, in the paper I said that we only have synchronous communication. But if I tell you that I've got one example running where I've got a nice little USB mouse, clunky driver mouse, when I move it forward, the Lego robot gets the message, it moves forward. When I pull the mouse back, it moves back. Okay, so I'm reading USB, writing USB. You know, I've got something working like that. We think, wait a minute, mice are asynchronous. He says he doesn't do asynchrony. Yeah, we end up missing things. We will not get the full asynchronous stream. We lose bytes. Okay, so we still have to fix that. Okay, there's a lot of work. You know, we've done some good stuff, but there's a lot of work. Where can I get support? Well, let's see. A funny thing happened on the way here. I heard about this program that Google was offering for open source development. I don't know, is everybody here familiar with this? I see everyone's nodding, so then I haven't produced any. No, okay, then there is some news here. I'll pass this along. The deadline was June 14th, and hopefully it's for just this year, and they're going to have many more years to come on this. What Google wanted to do was say, let's spread some money into the open source development effort. If you team up with one of their recognized partners, open source developers, as a student, you know, an undergraduate or graduate, okay, and if you finish the project in the summer of that year that you sign up for it, you get $4,500 paid from Google. Okay? I thought, pretty nice deal. I was also, and you know, if you're, where can I find out more about this, you may ask? There it is. Okay. code.google.com/summerofcode. Okay. I saw that the LispNYC.org, the New York people there, they seem to have a very nice affiliation with Google. Are there any representatives from that here?
They're here.
Okay. I really want to get to know them better. Okay, because I'd like to get this project in there. Yes? Huh?
Kenny Tilton,
okay. All right. So, future work. Last slide. Besides the programming, the development, what I want to do is push this forward and get an honest to God. But this is a nice package, but I wouldn't claim it's a standard by any stretch. Okay, there's still things that have to be worked out. But what I'd love to see in the Lisp community is some projects like this lead to a standard where we could actually say, I'd like to, instead of this bunch of filter functions that I get to call, when I'd like to make something analogous to a path name for a device. Okay. I'd also like better stream packaging. I don't know if it was clear from the presentation, but you've got a device, and you end up accessing several streams off of that device. When you open the device, all streams are open. When you close the device, all streams are closed. That's the USB spec. Okay. But you can treat these streams separate from each other. And the setup that we have, you have to worry about passing around this device handle very carefully. If you just happen to pass a stream off somewhere from that device and you're not careful, some function can close the device and you're working on a stream that's dead now. We have to have better stream packaging. So I'm hoping to get something along the lines of, let's make the device be the stream in question, and then we can have channels within the stream for the endpoints, something like that. Okay, but it's the stream. You can only pass around streams. You can't separate off channels from the stream as a separate entity. Okay. All right. And then finally, better handling of reconfiguration. This is the problem where, you know, one function decides, okay, I don't want you to be a video camera anymore. I want you to be a still camera. What happens to all the streams that are being used by the other functions while it's a still camera? Right now, it's, you know, all bets are off. That's the way the package works right now. We clearly need something much better. All right. And that's it.
Any questions or comments?
So you mentioned making the device a stream.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with what's called symbol streams?
No.
Okay. I'm not either, but it's basically a method. I believe it's a way of making methods for your streams. And Dwayne Reddick of Franz Allegro implemented it some time ago, and it's sort of becoming a standard. Hmm. And so I would suggest you at least investigate it, whether it might be relevant to you. I don't really know that it is, but it sounds like it could be relevant to your developing of, mm-hmm. something that would be integrated right into the common list.
Right. Okay, I will look into that. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other question, other comment? Yes?
It sounds wonderful to have USB available from Lisp, and so thank you. But next comes Bluetooth, and then FireWire, and serial ATA, and can we run the Mariner probe from where does this end?
You raise a good question. I was thinking about FireWire and that, too. I mean, in one sense, you could argue, yeah, we're probably, you know, this is biting off more than any programming language ought to chew. On the other hand, you know, we claim that these high-level, you know, I'm an artificial intelligence guy, too. You know, I like building intelligent agents. And, you know, to the degree that I can interface with these complicated devices easily, you know, just by just hauling out the language spec instead of hoping to God I can hire, whether or not Google's paying $4,500 a summer, you know, I can still hire a staff programmer who will hunt through that. You know, I think it does the language, it makes the language better if we can support that.
As opposed to having the operating system support it, which is a different way of factoring it, but maybe makes more sense.
Having the operating system support it would be good, but the only support that I've seen for these kinds of things, something snuck under the radar, has been, oh yeah, we'll give you this developer's toolkit, for C. So if I still want to work in Java, if I still want to work in Lisp, I'm back to where I started from.
No. But I've never done USB or Bluetooth or FireWire. I'm totally ignorant of this. But it seems like something that within an operating system framework.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully, you know, we kept hearing as we were going through all of the developer forums, Microsoft's, the next, since I'm a Mac guy, you'll forgive me, I don't know what the code word is for the next Windows release, but they keep promising, you'll have a great toolkit for USB, but that's just it. It's a toolkit in C.
So are you saying something like .NET, just having access to all .NET functions, and then Windows provides a .NET interface to USB?
I'm also a Macintosh guy, so I don't know about .NET. But yes, at that level, if the operating system provides a higher level interface to it, then...
And as long as we can generically interface with that interface.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But...
Yeah, and that would be good. But that still doesn't obviate, once you get yourself back into a programming language other than C or C++, Java or Lisp, you've still got to worry about how do I specify, connections to this thing, and that still demands some kind of standard. You can't treat these as standalone files. The systems that do allow you to do that, the file represents a single setting, configuration, interface, alternate, and that's it. You can't change that anymore. You can't use the dynamic features of the device if you go with a single file name to represent it. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.